Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Crawley.
We've been doing a series entitled The Names of God. And if you have not listened to the podcasts, please make some time and go to our website, listen to the podcasts, or if you are on Spotify, they are also available on Spotify. And we began powerfully by seeing why God would want us to know His names. And we left it, the first session, we left it with a question that came from Jesus, that who do you say I am? That's Jesus who asked the disciples. Have we got that slide? Who do you say I am? And we got to understand that our revelation of who Christ is, our revelation of who God is, will influence and impact how we relate with Him. We saw from the Word of God that God knows us by our names, and then He wants us to know Him by His name. And we saw four things He wants us to know Him. Number one, that we may understand His nature and character. Number two, through understanding His nature and character, then we will have boldness in our prayers and our walk with Him, which was very important. Then we saw, based on that, therefore, then we are going to enter into a covenant relationship with God. And lastly, God wants us to know His name because He wants His name glorified in the nations as a witness to all people. The Bible says, among the gods, who is like our God? So He wants His name to be made known. And then after that, we had a few other people come and bring the Word of God. We talked about Jehovah Perazim, which is the Lord who breaks through. Then JD, Pastor JD, brought Jehovah Rohi, which is the Lord, our shepherd. Last Sunday, our sister Isabel brought a very powerful word about the Lord. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, our banner of victory. And this morning, we move on to another name of God, and I'm going to keep it very short because I want us to pray towards the end, and also because we've had some time doing breakfast. El Shaddai. El Shaddai. The Almighty, All-Sufficient God, or the All-Sufficient Almighty God. And if you've not interacted with our Bible reading plan, please, I don't think we have any more hard copies left. You can just check it out online. I might put another version on our WhatsApp channel. Every single day, we are looking at a different name of God based on the calendar that we have. But this is not what you're doing there. Lord Almighty, I think we covered that, I think, on October the 4th. But this is quite interesting. So, the name El Shaddai. When I spoke about the names of God, I introduced the name El Shaddai. And we saw from the Word of God that this is how God introduced Himself to the patriarchs of old. This is how He introduced Himself to Moses. And He said, when I introduced myself to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, I introduced myself as El Shaddai. Do we have that verse from Exodus chapter 6? He says, I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as El Shaddai, God Almighty, but I did not reveal my name Yahweh to them. And I unpacked the meaning of the name Yahweh, and Yahweh means the Lord, it means I am. And I reaffirmed my covenant with them. Under its terms, I promised to give them the land of Canaan where they were living as foreigners. So we see God introduced Himself to the patriarchs through His name El Shaddai. It is one of the most profound names of God in the Bible. Now, when you look at this name, El means God. And then Shaddai has been interpreted by many Bible scholars to mean a number of things. One of the interpretations of Shaddai comes from the Hebrew word Shadu, which means a mountain. So it means the God of the mountain. Another interpretation comes from another Hebrew word that is called Sadeh, which means sufficiency. And I will be showing you some verses there where God comes through as the all-sufficient God. And then another group of scholars still insist that this Shaddai is so phenomenal, it must come from a Hebrew word called shad, which means a breast. And I will show you a verse still in the Bible where God declares that as the Almighty God, you'll be refreshed through your breast and through your womb, which symbolically in the Hebrew tradition means nourishment. It means nutrition. It means sustenance. So all these words combined together, they present El Shaddai as a God who is all-sufficient, as a God who is almighty, as a God who is nourishing, a God who satisfies, and a God who supplies for all our needs as a mother feeds a breastfeeding baby. That is El Shaddai. He's an all-powerful one. He's an all-sufficient God. He is the one who supplies for your needs. He's the one who satisfies you. He's the one who nourishes you. Now, I want to go back one step and reintroduce El Shaddai for the sake of those who were not here when we started the series. In the Bible, or when interpreting the Bible, there is a concept or a principle known as the principle of the first mention. For those who've been to Bible college or you've done theological studies, you know what that means. It means that to understand some concepts in the Bible, to understand some doctrines in the Bible, it is important to first of all identify in the scripture the very first time they are introduced. Because theologically we argue that the first time a concept is introduced in the Bible, it is usually the simplest and most clear way of understanding that concept. For those of you who are in the business world, I worked in the industry for a while. I worked in the corporate for a while. There is something we call a moment of truth. A moment of truth is that moment when you first interact with a system. When you first come into the bank and you interact with us, that will give you your first moment, what we call a moment of truth. And it is usually said that you do not have a second chance to create a first impression. For our single brothers and sisters, I just gave you an idea on how to go on a date. You do not have a second chance to create a first impression. So theologically, we argue where a word, a concept, or a doctrine is introduced in the Bible, if we look at it critically, it tends to be the most profound yet most simple way of understanding that concept. And everything else builds upon that as a revelation. So I'm going to take you back to the book of Genesis, the book of the beginnings, which naturally contains many of the first mentions in the Bible, including the foundations of most of the Bible doctrines and concepts. Now, Genesis 17, verse 1 to verse 2. So we first see God identifying himself as El Shaddai when he's talking with Abraham in the book of Genesis, and he reaffirms his covenant with Abraham. I explained a few weeks ago that God revealed himself, no, he manifested himself to Abraham and he gave him instructions, but he did not introduce himself. And so Abraham stepped out in faith and obedience, but somewhere down the line, he was waylaid and he came out of the plan of God. And guess what happened? When that happened, God withdrew from him for a number of years, almost 13 years. God never spoke to him. God never gave him any more promises. He was all by himself doing life after having stepped out of the will of God. And I just want to pause there and I say it is important that we always align ourselves with the will of God for our lives, because when we are aligned with his will, he is surely leading and guiding us in everything that we do. The Bible says as many are led of the Spirit of God are the children of God. It is important to have our minds renewed, the Bible says, that we may know what is the perfect will of God, that which is pleasing to him. Many of us suffer in our lives, not because the enemy has attacked us, but because we have withdrawn ourselves from the will of God. Whatever God calls for, he provides for. Wherever God leads, he maintains. So it is important you align yourself with the will and the plan of God for your life, because when you step outside, then you are not going to fulfill what God has for you. The Bible says, this is important, Romans chapter 8, it's not in by verses, don't worry. Romans 8, 28, the Bible says, therefore now, all things work together for the good of those who are called according to his will and those who love him. If you have your Bible, underline that. Romans 8, verse 28. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and those who are called according to his purpose, according to his will. So all things work together for your good. Because you love the Lord and you are in his purpose, you are in his will. So some things will be nasty things according to you, but eventually they will work out together for your good. Some things will be painful, but eventually they will work out together for your good. Some things will be hurting, but eventually they will work out together for your good. Because that is what the Bible says, all things, good things, all things, bad things, all things work together for your good in Jesus' name. Joseph looks at his brothers and he says to them, you guys, you meant this for evil, but God turned it around for your own good, that I may preserve your lives. What a man. What a declaration. He had been sold. In fact, they wanted to kill him. You know, people who are thinking of killing you, people who sell you into slavery. He goes into prison and he turns around and he said, God turned it around for good. I don't know what you're going through right now, but I came to tell you that all things will work together for your good in the name of Jesus. You may be crying right now. You may be weeping and moaning. But the Bible says that they that carry their seeds in tears will come back rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. There is a harvest of righteousness that God is working through you. And one of these fine days, you will look back and say, look what the Lord has done. There is a song by a guy called Travis Green that says, I don't know how you did it, but you made a way. I don't know how I made it through this valley. I don't know how I survived this storm, but God, you did it for me. I digress. So Abraham steps out of the will of God, and God zips up on him. You see, many times, God will never give you fresh instructions beyond your act of disobedience. We see that many times in the Bible. When we disobey God, when we step out of the will of God, whenever God comes back, guess what he does? He repeats the instructions you disobeyed. Because you cannot steer a disobedient servant. You cannot give fresh mandate to a disobedient servant. So here the Bible says, Genesis 17 verse 1 and 2. God says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. I will make a covenant with you by which I will guarantee to give you countless descendants. So therefore then, God now reveals his name. He reveals his nature. He says, I am El Shaddai. He says, I am Almighty. Now, I want you to understand, at this moment when God is speaking to Abraham, Abraham is 99 years of age and he is still waiting for God to come and give him a promise. He's still waiting for God to come and manifest that which he has spoken in his life. And he says, I am El Shaddai. I want you to be blameless before me. I want you to walk uprightly before me, because there is something about my name. There is something about me that you need to align with. I cannot be saying I am your Almighty God, but you are playing these games. You are playing with Sarah and Hagar. You are trying to interfere with my plan. Align yourself with what I'm doing in your life, and then you will see what I will do. He says, I will guarantee you. As in, his word is his bond. He swears by his name. Later on, we see God making a covenant with him. And because God could not swear by anything greater, he swore by himself. And he says, I guarantee you, as long as I, the Lord, liveth, I will make your descendants so many, you will never be able to count them. Praise the name of Jesus. But he says, serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. Jehovah El Shaddai. So, in other words, when God is revealing his name, he is trying to make Abraham understand that I overrule your present situations and circumstances. Your body is old and frail. Sarah's womb, the Bible says, was as good as dead. But he was saying, I am the Almighty God who defies the logics of man. I defy the laws of man to do what I only can do. I am all powerful and all sufficient to meet each and every one of my words that I've spoken to you. So El Shaddai is a name that carries the weight of God's ability to fulfill his promises. God is not a man that he should lie. He's not a son of man that he should change his mind. What he says he will do, surely he will do. If he says he will bless, surely he will bless. And so therefore God is saying to Abraham, don't look at your circumstances. Your circumstances are showing that everything is humanly impossible. But I am saying I'm the Almighty God, the one who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what you ask or imagine. My mind is not like your mind. My thoughts are not like your thoughts. You know, many times, unfortunately, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, we become experienced in our failures. We become experts in our weaknesses, and we become so much accustomed to them that we start relating God, not from a point of revelation, but from a point of experience. I like giving this testimony of one time my aunt, a sister to my mother, was sick to the point of death. And those days I was on fire for God. I still am on fire for God. But those days I was a raving evangelist, you know. Yeah, we didn't know any barriers. And we prayed for her. I laid my hands on her. And I said, God, this sickness is not unto death. May she recover. And then on the 30th of November 1999, she breathed her last and she died. And I was like, God, I will never, ever again pray for a sick person. How could she die? And I remember that time I was, you know, when we were preparing for the funeral, the minister who was to officiate the funeral, God just gave him a word for me, and he told him to tell me that God healed your aunt. God healed your aunt and answered her prayer, and now she is in glory with the Lord. And if she was to be asked to come back to earth, she would say no. And there I was as a young man, very indignant with God and very angry. And then I saw it from a different perspective. Also, although humanly I was hurting and I was trying to give God ultimatums and telling him I will never do this again. A few years later, my mom was diagnosed with a cardiac issue. Serious issue. And I remember my dad called us and we were in the house, and you know, he laid all the medical reports on the table and said, this is the latest we've got, and your mom's heart is packing up. And in other words, the doctors had told her, go and put your house in order, because yeah, you might not see Christmas. And it was very hard on us. So what I did once again, I was this fiery, raving evangelist. I rallied some people to pray for my mom, and we prayed. And there is this particular gentleman, I love him so much. He's a good friend of ours as a family. And I was working in a bank then, and I had an office. Yeah, I had good life back in the day. Do people still have offices these days? Offices, yeah. So I had this big office somewhere upstairs, and this gentleman came and knocked on my door, and he came in and he said, Victor, I don't think this is allowed, but I just feel I want to pray with you. as that particular day, my mom was going for a consultative meeting just to see if there was any chance for a heart transplant or for an operation. And the guy came in and he said, "The Lord led me to pray with you." And he's one of the few people that I know, or I knew back then, who had the gift of faith. And we held hands. I had nothing to pray to God about. But this guy just believed God with me. And we prayed. It's a bank, don't forget. And it's one of those Holy Ghost filled brothers, demon casting guys. And he's praying and I'm going like, shh, as in like, lower your voice, man. He might get me, get a sack, you know. And then he prayed, not very lengthy prayers. And then he said, "It is done." And he walked out. He was a guy, he used to work in a pharmacy. He was a good friend. And guess what? At that very moment when he was praying and he was speaking in tongues in my office, my mom was having some tests done at the hospital. And the cardiologist said, "The results I am getting, plus what I have, what you've brought to me, these are two different patients. Your heart is in a perfect working condition." Yeah, yeah, go ahead. Applaud the Lord. That's the doing of the Lord. And 20 years later, because that was in 2005, 20 years later, this day, my mom is still alive. The issue has never come back. She has never taken a single tablet for her heart. What is my point? Sometimes God will come and overrule your circumstances. You become so accustomed like Victor because you prayed for a person to be healed and they died. You prayed for that kid and they grew worse. You prayed for that family and it disintegrated. And you think, "God, I cannot do this anymore." God says, "You are not operating with me from a point of your failures. You're not operating with me from a point of your weaknesses. You are operating from a point of my power. I am El Shaddai and I can do what no man can do." So God reveals this to Abraham. Genesis 28 verse 3. God then continues to make his name known. And now here it is Isaac invoking the name of God El Shaddai to bless his son Jacob as he sends him away to Paddan Aram. You know the story. So Jacob has just connived. They have worked together in cohort with the mother and they have just taken the birthright from Esau, and Esau is breathing fire and brimstone. He is saying, "I will kill you." And so the mother decides, because the man still doesn't know what is happening. Hallelujah. You know, when I read about this story, I just pray, "God, I pray that Emma and Kirk will never conspire against me." The guy is in his bedroom. He is old and he is blind. And the Bible says, when Rebecca knew what was about to happen, he said to his son Jacob, "You know my brother who lives far, far away? Yeah, I want you to go and hide there because your brother is going to kill you." And then she goes to the husband and says, "You know what? I don't like the girls in Crowley and I don't think our son should marry one of the girls in Crowley. Why don't we send her to a far place?" Now, where's the farthest you can go? I don't know. "Why don't we send her to Scotland for her to get a wife from there? I think a Scottish woman would make a good wife for my son." And the husband never knew anything. So the following chapter now, chapter 28, that is chapter 27, chapter 28, Isaac, the man of the house, decides, "I am going to instruct my son on the way to go." He doesn't know that something has already been arranged. So he calls the son and says to him, "I want you to go to your uncle's family and find yourself a wife from there, because the girls around here, man, they are not so good for you." But in the midst of all that, he remembered something. He remembered, "My father introduced me to a God. He introduced me to a man called El Shaddai. And this is the blessing I am going to give you." Verse 3, the Bible says, "May God Almighty El Shaddai bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, so that you may become a great company of peoples. May he also give the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you, so that you may inherit the promised land of your sojournings, which he gave to Abraham. I hope you can understand the context. This is a man who's about to die. He doesn't know if I will ever see my son again. He has just given him his blessing. He has just released all that was in him spiritually to him. And he says, now you are going to a far country. I pray that El Shaddai will make you fruitful and multiply you. You are leaving this house just as a single young man. You are going away with nothing. You are going away in fear. You are going away because your brother wants to kill you. But I know of a God in heaven. His name is El Shaddai. And he is able to turn around your fortunes. And this El Shaddai is able to make you fruitful and make you become numerous. You might be just a single man or a single woman. You just be all alone in your company. You're just saying, I'm the only Christian in my family. I'm the only believer in my neighborhood. God is able to use you to bring a big harvest to the kingdom. And he says, I will make you great. And he will make you great. He will make you fruitful. Why? Because his name is El Shaddai. He knows no barrenness. He knows no unfruitfulness. His name is El Shaddai. Genesis 35 verse 11. So this guy has gone, and we know the story, whatever happens after that. He goes and he marries a girl. And then in the morning he discovered, oh my goodness, they cheated me. They gave me the wrong girl. And then he works another 7 years and he's given another girl. So he now has two wives. Then God appears to him, Genesis 35 and verse 11. And he says, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. Let me first of all pause there. Just keep that verse there. Keep that verse there. Do you see what God is doing here? He reveals himself to his grandfather. We have no record of his grandfather, of his father receiving the same promise, but the promise is carried forward from Abraham to Isaac. Isaac carries it in his spirit, declares it upon his son, and then God comes and affirms it from heaven. I'm speaking to somebody here who has a child and who has a grandchild, that you have the power from God to declare blessings upon them. What was declared by Abraham, what was declared by Isaac, God now comes and confirms to Jacob. And he says to him, I am El Shaddai. I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. You will become a great nation. Even many nations, kings will be among your descendants. And I will give you the land I once gave to Abraham and Isaac. Yes, I will give it to you and your descendants after you. El Shaddai is a promise-keeping God. El Shaddai is a covenant-keeping God. What he said he will do, he will surely do. Hallelujah. He is powerful enough to keep his promises. He's powerful enough to fulfill what he has said he will do. And El Shaddai comes across as a God who has the power and the ability to overcome all circumstances and all inadequacies. You see, most of the time when God gives you a word, he gives you a word that is antithetical to what you are going through. That is why we receive it by faith. Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 4 that some people of the old in the Bible, they never received the word with faith, and therefore it was not profitable for them. That's what the Bible says. So when God gives you a word, he might give you a word when you look at your circumstances and what God is saying, something is not right. One of the situations is in sin. As in like, God, how can you be saying I am blessed and all that I'm seeing is failure around me? How can you be saying I'm above and all that I'm seeing is myself beneath? How can you be saying I'm the first and all that I'm seeing is that I'm the last? Because God's word has the ability to overcome, to overrule every situation in your life. The The Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter 1, the book of the beginnings, the Bible says in the beginning, the earth was formless. It was without shape and it was void. And the Bible continues to say, and darkness filled every place. Then guess what happened? And the Lord spoke and he said, let there be. And there was. That is El Shaddai. We shall maybe look at him later on as Elohim, the creator, who is able to make nothing out of something. The Bible says Abraham believed God who is able to call things that are not as though they are. The God who is able to call dead things back to life. That's what the Bible says in the book of Romans. So he believed God and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. So God will speak to you in the darkest of your situations and say, I speak light. God will speak to you in your turmoil and he will say, I am your peace. God will speak to you in your failure. We were told last Sunday, and he will say, I am your banner of victory. I am Jehovah Jireh. He will speak to you in your shame and he will say, I am your glory. I am your beauty. I am your honor. I am your dignity. Why? Because he is El Shaddai. And later on, I will not go there, but in Genesis 49 and 25, we see later on the blessing continues to carry on. And God says that I will bless the descendants of Jacob in every human way possible. You go read that at home, Genesis 49, 25. That is where God says that I will be your breast. I will bless your breast and your womb. So the El Shaddai says, I am El Shaddai. And he says to Joseph, I will bless you in every way possible. So how do we apply this in our lives as we come to conclude? Two ways of applying this. Number one, trust God. Trust that he's the all-sufficient God. Trust him that he is enough. Trust him that he is able to do what he has said he will do. When life feels lacking, whether emotionally, financially, spiritually, you must remember that your El Shaddai is more than enough. Trust him. Say, God, I trust you. Job says, I will trust you even when I cannot trace you. I can't smell you, God. I can't feel you. I can't perceive you. But still, God, I will trust you. I don't know what's going on in my life, but God, I will trust. I still trust you. The Bible says, Job said, God, even if you kill me, I will still trust you. Because you gave me life. And I know because you can kill me and bring me back to life, whichever way you choose to swing, God, I will still trust you. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. Bible says, God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Jehovah El Shaddai. He is able to make all grace, not some grace, not a measure of grace, not a portion of grace, all grace. When you're in that difficult situation, grace abounds to you. When your boss is telling you that they are going to sack you, grace abounds to you. When your business is not performing, grace abounds to you. When your children are not listening, grace abounds to you. When your grandchildren are in drugs, grace abounds to you. When you are sick in your sick bed, grace abounds to you. Grace abounds. Oh, grace. When you don't have a coin that can knock another in your pocket, grace abounds to you. All, not some, all grace abound towards you so that in all things, I don't know how I can express this, but all means everything excluding nothing, everything, all things. I was speaking to somebody a few weeks ago and they were complaining to me about their pet cat. And I was saying, just take it to God in prayer. You want to lay your hands on your cat for its recovery? It's up to you. He says, all things, pets, children, clothes, all things. See, the problem we have is that sometimes we limit God and we think that God can do this for me and not that. I know of a woman whose car broke down when she was going on a mission. She's written a book called Cactus in the Desert. For those who would like, I'm going for a conference next weekend and she will be speaking in London. She's a prophetess of God. And she wrote a book called Cactus in the Desert. And in that story, it's her biography. She writes and says, one time she was going for a mission and they traveled so far, they got so lost in the wilderness and the car ran out of gas. And she was like, God, you sent me to speak in that village. My car has run out of gas and I don't know how I'm going to go there. And said, one way or another, God, you're going to take me there. Either it's a chariot of fire, or it's teleporting, or it's a helicopter you're going to send. I don't know how you're going to do it, God. I need to go and preach. And she just got outside of the car. She went to the car, and to the front of the car, laid hands on it, spoke in tongues. And she said, God, this car will get there with or without fuel. Got into the car and told the driver, start the engine, let's go. And the driver was like, I know this woman hears God, but I think right now she's losing her mind. And when the guy just ignited the engine, the car roared back to life. They drove about 200 kilometers without fuel. When they got to the nearest service station, which is about 200 kilometers away, the car just sputtered and died right at the gas pump. You see, we limit God. I'm going to provoke your faith in a crazy way. God can do anything. God can create things. God can replace body parts. God can make things that are not manifest and appear. Praise the name of Jesus. I know people who have had a knock on their doors. When they open the door, there's a delivery of something they were trusting God for, not knowing who brought it. Somebody said that when God sends, even the devil obeys. It could be the person who hates you most who will do the delivery for you. Praise the name of Jesus. Might sound crazy. I know today I'm speaking crazy things and, you know, just bear with me, go with me, just flow along. I know of a woman who one time was, 6 months out on her rent and she was facing eviction. And then God told her to go to a certain office. And when she went to that office, the gentleman came out and said, are you so and so? Yeah. Somebody just came and told me that you're going to be coming here. This is your envelope. And the envelope had her name written on gold at the top. And it was an exact of 6 months rent and 6 months advance rent. Who is like our God? He's able to make all grace abound toward you, that at all times, you may, having all you need, you may abound in every good work. Jehovah El Shaddai. Philippians 4:19. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Look at that verse. Does it say that God will supply some of your needs? Most of your need? It says all of your needs. Whether it's spiritual needs, sociological needs, psychological needs, God is able to supply for all your needs according to his riches in glory. You don't have to carry the weight of life alone. It's El Shaddai who is carrying you. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, he says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weaknesses. He's an all-sufficient God. You wonder how you're going to make it. I came to tell you today by the word of God, El Shaddai will make you make it. No matter how hard it is. I remember when I went to law school and I remember putting a post on Facebook one time that they tricked me. They said, go to law school, it will be easy. I know God is looking at me. I've done hard things in life, but law school was one of the hardest things that I ever had to do because I hate exams. I'm going to tell you that for a fact. And I have determined for as long as I'm alive, as long as I'm breathing, if there is any course that has exams with it, I am out. I will not sit down and do exams again. I've done my driving test and passed. Hallelujah. I'm not doing any other test. But anyway, my point here is it got so hard at some point. There's especially one module, the law of equities and trusts. Man, that thing never used to come in for some reason. But I prayed. I used to wake up at 3 a.m. to study. It was not coming in. See, when you're studying and you have a wife and you have children, it's not that easy. But let me tell you something. God was able to make sail through. And I passed, and I passed with a good grade. Why? Because he is able to make all grace. His grace is sufficient. His power is made perfect in your weaknesses. You might be feeling, I am inadequate in my job. I am inadequate in my family. I am inadequate in my studies. God is able to make his grace become sufficient for you. He is your El Shaddai. Lastly, after trusting God, the other thing you need to do when you know that he is your El Shaddai is that you need to work in awe and reverence of who he is. Genesis chapter 17, where we read, when God revealed his name to Abraham, guess what Abraham did? The Bible says he fell down on his knees. When you get a revelation of who God is, your heart's response must always be awe and adoration. Because God, who is like you among all the other gods, majestic in holiness, glorious in wonders, you do mighty things, O God. You sustain my life. I'm not even conscious of how I breathe in and I breathe out. Forget about medicine and biology. God, it is you. There is a song we sing in this church that it is your breath in my lungs. When I inhale and I exhale, Lord, you are sustaining my life. David says, I would have given up had I not believed that I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. God, I'm in awe of your majesty. Revelation 1 and verse 8. And this is where I want to end it. I want to tell you that no matter what you are going through, this morning, we are going to lift up the name of the Most High God, the Almighty God, the name that is exalted above your situations. The Bible says, because of the attitude that has Christ, in fact, the Bible starts by saying, have the same attitude that Jesus had, the attitude of humility. And the Bible says, because of his humility, he died, even died on the cross. And it says, now, God has given him a name. The name above all names. And the Bible says, of all names in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, that at the mention of this name of God, the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. So what I want us to do this morning is just to lift up the name of Jesus. Exalt the name of God above your situation. We talked about the banner of Jesus last week. His name is higher than your situation. His name is higher than your mental health fights. His name is higher than your financial difficulties. His name is higher than any other thing you might be going through today. The name of Jesus. Revelation 1:8 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. That means I am the beginning and the end. God declares the end even before the beginning has been. All your days are numbered by him. The Bible says he knows the amount of hair on your head. How precious can you be before God? The Bible says he has engraved you on the palm of his hands. That is how special you are to God. And he says he is the Alpha and Omega. Before the end, God has already declared the beginning. Oh, I came to serve some people with a notice that they gave you an ultimatum. They gave you an end. But I came to tell you today that God has the final say. Your boss does not have the final say. Westminster doesn't have the final say. Jehovah has the final word. Because he's the Alpha and Omega. That diagnosis, I love doctors so much. My wife is a nurse. But I came to tell you that no medic has your final say. Jehovah has a final word. No psychologist, no psychiatrist like our sister Isabel. Nobody has a final word about your mental health status. Jehovah has a final word. They might legislate at Westminster and do whatever they want to do. They might decide cases in court. But in court, there is a statement that we always say, overruled. When Jehovah overrules, every other person becomes a noisemaker. Praise the name of Jesus. Yes, they become chatterboxes. Hallelujah. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord. I am the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.